From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of July, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net, Nick Sider, Extension entomologist. We'll have a discussion as it relates to the Western Corn Rootworm and a couple of other things, but you'll want to pay attention to that WCR discussion. And as we close out our time together, we'll take up the weather forecast, really in-depth, in fact, with Mike Tenera at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, December corn today at 523 and 3/4, down 7 and a quarter. The March at 531 and a half, 7 and a quarter lower. November beans down 7 and 3/4 at $13.19 and a half. The lead bean meal at $356.80, $1.90 lower. And bean oil at $60.48, down 58 cents for the day. Wheat futures at $6.18 in the September, down 4 and a quarter. For the soft red, the hard red September at 588, up 3.5, and spring wheat in the September at $8 and a nickel, down 3 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the lead at 119.27 and a half, $1.32 and a half cents lower for the day. Feeder cattle at 157.32 and a half, $1.67 and a half lower, and lean hogs at $100 and 37 and a half cents per 100 pounds, down 2.5 cents. And crude oil at around $73 is down 81 cents for the day. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois, now joins us. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us. I have traveled not particularly far, but from here to Crawfordsville, and I've seen, at not in the last 2 weeks, but I saw my own farm in last week, at least in Victor's near Logan County. So I guess what, maybe 160 miles across there? Boy, that crop looks really good. How about down where you are?
Yeah, I think our crop looks really good. You know, I have had several folks talk about, do we want to spray fungicide or don't we want to spray fungicide? And the cost for spraying that's pretty similar to what it was a year ago. The big difference, of course, is corn's $1.50 to $2 higher than what we were a year ago. And so, you know, maybe you gain some yield, maybe you don't. But as fast as this crop is developing, we have had heat. I've got to think that someone may be concerned about, preserving too much moisture and maybe not getting to harvest it as quick. On a year like this may not be such an issue. What I'm getting at is that people want to get all the bushels they can, you know, because we're still looking at out of the field $5 corn for most of us. So I know it's not been a pleasant week, but I spoke on Tuesday night to a group of growers. I said, hey, what a luxury to be down the limit today and still have 540 corn.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's we've got to keep things in perspective. I'm not saying we're going to keep going lower. I'm not trying to be bearish here, but I think making sales here for a person in Central Illinois significantly easier than doing so for someone who hasn't been able to catch the rain. We've got a real luxury here with regards to what our crop looks like.
Yeah, so they should do the catch-up sales, in your opinion. That's hard to do in the face of a downtrending marketplace. However, this crop looks getting bigger now than rather smaller, which it was, 2.5 weeks ago. How far along should they be, do you think?
You know, I think that it's reasonable, especially as we go through what I would say is a pretty nice pollination window in here. A lot of folks are pollinated or pollinating right now, or will be in the next few days. And boy, this weather couldn't be a whole lot better. I know it was a little warm and windy yesterday, but for the most part, I believe our pollination has been fairly good from a weather perspective. And so once you get through that, I gotta think you need to assess what type of crop you're looking at and get to maybe half sold if you feel comfortable there. The reason I say assess what your crop's at is because we were basing our sales based on APH for the longest time. But, you know, if your APH is below what you're expecting for production, you've got to start looking at, hey, what are my production expectations? Do I want to be a little more aggressive than normal? And I think when you're looking at this type of profit margin on the table, the answer to that question would be yes. And so, again, I understand that a lot of folks don't want to sell what they have haven't gotten the bin yet. And I know that mentality still is out there, but at the same time, it's pretty tough to go wrong selling $5 plus corn.
Hey, did you see the numbers from CONAB this morning? They dropped the corn crop, total corn crop, for second and third to 384 or something like that.
Yeah, somewhere in there. I did. And, you know, I guess my thought process, I mean, I've seen private analysts significantly below that. We've talked to a couple of producers down in there that say they certainly have a crop failure in a lot of areas. I think it remains to be seen. You're going to see some wide disparities in yields. But by all means, at this stage of the game, it looks like that crop could pretty easily slip below 90 million metric ton. Keep in mind, every 10 million metric ton, you're looking at about 400 million bushels. And right now, we're a solid 10 million metric ton under what we were originally projecting that crop to be. So obviously, those 400 million bushels are not going to be available either for export or for feed usage there in Brazil.
Yeah, just to give the numbers in bushels for producers here. So we talked about nearly a 94 million ton corn crop out of Brazil for this year. That started way above that, around 110, I think. USDA has it at 96. Last month it was at 98. Last month CONAB had it at 96. This morning they were around just under 94. That's down 118 million bushels from the previous month. And the crop size in bushels is 4.184 billion bushels. They did lower their ending stocks, not quite that much, not the 118, but 86 million bushels for Brazil, down to just 215 million bushels in the bin. So the idea that they may need corn is probably not very far off as well. Now, turn your attention to soybeans. Farmers probably understand what you're telling them about the corn crop and maybe marketing up to half of that. Soybeans usually are a different story, and they're an August crop. What do you think?
You know, I think I'd maybe tend to stay with my APH as far as, you know, projections. I don't want to get too carried away just yet. You know, we're hearing a lot of producers here in the central Illinois area talking about some disease pressure. You know, obviously we had a lot of rain here recently. I think that fungicide treatment on soybeans is almost a foregone conclusion for most producers. And I think this year, by all means, it's an absolute necessity. That's just my opinion. I'm not an agronomist, but from my perspective, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. I think the bean crop's a long ways from being made. It sure seems like some of these beans have maybe stalled out just a bit, but I do think that you still could have an awfully good crop. So you throw everything together, and we all know that August is the month for beans. We know that if we don't have a good August, we're probably going to struggle to get maybe above that 50 bushel national yield. But most of your models right now are projecting somewhere between 49 and 50. I think if you get a really good August, you could get above that. But for the time being, I've got to think we'll have some support, especially with the Chinese sniffing around for new crop soybeans. I got to think that we won't fall too much farther out of bed than what we already have.
What does demand structure look like for soybeans? You talked about the Chinese. We had just an inordinately good crush in the United States last year for soybeans. Will that be maintained?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be kind of tough. We definitely do have good crush. But the bottom line, you got to remember, soil was obviously just ramped up like it was going out of style. Previously, we backed way off the highs. Soybean meal, you know, we were in the mid fours there for a while. We're almost $100 cheaper than where we were at times. And so, we've kind of backed off, and I think some of the crush margins aren't near what they were previously. So you've got to think that we're going to ease somewhat. But at the same time, whenever we're at razor-thin margins, it's not that hard to fathom why we would be seeing that sort of pullback. High prices probably have done a little bit of a good job of maybe curbing demand and curbing high prices. But moving forward, we're still so tight that we just don't have any margin for error. So I guess I'm not overly concerned whenever I say I think crush could back off a shade.
And before I let you go, ethanol numbers still look strong?
Oh, ethanol was fantastic again this week. I got to think USDA is probably going to have to ramp that number up just a little bit more. And on a year like this, whenever you're looking at carryouts as tight as what we are for both old and projections for new, I think you got to pay attention.
And next week, we'll get some numbers from USDA and their monthly WASDE, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. We'll talk to you about them at that point. Hey, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, that's Matt Bennett. He is with agmarket.net. Earlier in the day, I caught up with University of Illinois Extension field crops entomologist Nick Sider. He was doing some research on the South farms. I asked him a few questions and thought you'd like to hear the answers. The first one, though, was what concerns him most as it relates to insects and field crops in the state of Illinois.
I would have to drive the state 3, 4, or 5 times probably to see anybody with a sweep net out in field, actually looking for insect populations. When I found them, it would probably be the statewide pest survey that I would find. There's very little of that goes on in Illinois, and the problem with not having that sweep net out there is that we don't quantify that pest population. Typically, we're walking through the field, pointing, looking. There's an insect, there's a stink bug, there's some bean leaf beetles, there's some defoliation. But we're not getting a good picture of what that population is. And that's what we really need to do to make effective control decisions based on an economic threshold. You could tell a similar story in corn rootworm. I've actually been encouraged this year. We've got a corn rootworm scouting program throughout the state where we're distributing corn rootworm traps. A lot of people are taking part. We've got a lot of interest in that program this year, certainly a lot more interest than I expected to see. And knowing what that corn rootworm population is doing this year, both in terms of the numbers that you have out there and the breakdown in the species between western and, especially if you go up into northern Illinois, northern corn rootworm, that's going to help us not only evaluate the effectiveness of our control this year, but make a decision for next year on whether or not a control is needed and perhaps what sort of control you ought to use going into next year. We often try to do that without that information, and it's a difficult decision to make if you don't know what the pest pressure is like.
What's the biggest question you get from farmers now?
The biggest question right now, and you touched on it earlier, we're right in kind of that timing when a lot of fungicide applications go out. And I get the question all the time of, should I throw an insecticide in there with it? And the answer to that question really comes down to a few things. One, what are you killing? You know, because an insecticide is designed to kill something. What is it that you want to kill? Is that pest that you want to kill in your field right now? As I mentioned earlier, the residual activity of those materials generally isn't that long. And is it in there right now at a level that's at an economic threshold, at a level that's actually going to cause economic damage that's going to justify that application? And in Illinois, in most fields, most of the time, the answer to those questions is no. And we want to make our control decisions based on the reality in the field, not the reality of when we're going across the field.
As an entomologist, what's your biggest concern going forward, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years out?
Resistance. It'll be resistance if I wanted to put a one-word answer to that. More specifically, in the next 5 years, resistance in the western corn rootworm. And we're running out of these products, whether it's BT traits or even to our west, insecticides out in Nebraska. We're running out of products at a time that we're not really developing new products, at least not fast enough to keep up with that. You could think of it as the situation we have with herbicide-resistant weeds right now. We're a few years behind that, but we're on the same path with that insect currently. And that's something we need to change by changing our management, by introducing more variability, more rotation into that management scheme. Because if we rely on the same control year after year after year, we know exactly where that's going to get us.
Nick Sider is an extension entomologist on the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. I caught up with him earlier today. You'll hear more of Nick on the Ag Day program over the next several weeks. So watch that with Clinton Griffiths and Tyne Morgan. Let's check now with Mike Tenura at T-Storm Weather in Chicago to see what the forecast is for the growing regions. I think we'll stay in the United States today. Mike, thanks for being with us, by the way.
Yeah, it's always great being here, Todd.
Tell me about the weather forecast over the next week, and maybe you can work your way from the eastern side of the Corn Belt back to the northwest.
Well, everybody is going to be affected by a very large system that moves through this weekend, and then it lingers early next week. So we're going to see a lot of rain from this system, especially along and south of I-80. So that's a big corn and soybean producing region, of course. And because of that, things are going to turn wetter in much of Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. The big uncertainty over the next 5 days regards how far north will the rains fall. We still need rain in the Dakotas, Minnesota, even parts of Nebraska and Kansas. And we are going to see some rain in those areas starting up later today and tonight, and even at some points during the upcoming weekend. But we don't think we're going to see a lot of rain in these areas. So in the end, we'll have a situation where the areas that are currently moist are going to be wetter than they are now. And these areas that are pretty dry are still going to need to see more rain to get out of the situation. But that creates a complex setup because it's a little difficult to determine what you need going forward. If half of the corn crop, or maybe even more than that, is doing very well from a soil moisture standpoint because of all the rains, and then the rest of it is doing okay to fairly poor, you have to start thinking about what does that mean to the national yield? Is it going to make it go up or make it go down? And that's kind of what everybody's thinking about right now. What we're trying to figure out is just exactly how far north those rains are going to be. We think that most corn and soybeans are going to receive at least a half of an inch over the next week. We think around a third to a half will receive more than an inch, and that will be again in those areas that are already doing okay. And there's even some areas that could see quite a bit more than that, maybe 2, 3, 4 inches, especially from parts of southern Iowa and northern Missouri, straight on east through Illinois and Indiana.
Model runs early in the week, if you had been ordering rainfall for the Corn Belt, really positioned this so that it would touch the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan. And then that moved southward. What was the cause? I know the models are just making some predictions here, but why did it move southward? And is there much potential for it to move back to the north side?
Well, most of the rain that's coming up is simply due to a large system that's going to move through, and it's very large for July standard. So that's just kind of the way things are going to work out over the next 5 days. But to your earlier question about why is it shifting around or maybe moving south compared to where it looked like it might be 4 or 5 days ago, it just comes down to the way the models are. Essentially, we take a computer model and we give it an initial set of conditions, and then we allow that model to project into the future 10 to 14 days out. And that gives us some idea of what that one model thinks is going to happen over the next 10 to 14 days. But what we can do to make it a little more meaningful is change that little set of conditions in the very, very beginning of the run and then see what it looks like 10 to 14 days out if we make very small changes now. Because we know that a very small difference right now could turn into a very large difference once we get further and further out into the future. And essentially, the models were all showing some pretty big rains in the northern growing areas earlier in the week. And what that tells us as a meteorologist is that, hey, there's something happening here and is going to rain heavily somewhere. It's just a matter of exactly where, because the first rule of thumb in weather forecasting is don't totally believe the computer model, because that's a real good way to start making some poor forecasts. So it was showing a lot of rain in the northern areas. Now they've shifted a little bit south, but the main point is that the model was correct in identifying a lot of rain. Maybe it wasn't quite as correct in exactly where that rain would fall. And that's where a difference of 50 to 100 miles, maybe even a couple hundred miles, can make a very large difference to the way a crop turns out. Because as you noted, most of the corn and soybean crops are grown from Iowa through Illinois and into Indiana. If that axis of heavy rain is a little bit further north or a little bit further south, it misses a lot of those crops, and so therefore you still might need more rain. At this point, it looks like a lot of these areas are going to see some decent rainfall, primarily because this rain event is fairly close into the future, and there's more than one opportunity for rain. We think the storms that come up through Friday or tomorrow are going to be scattered and hit or miss. Once we get into Friday night, Saturday, and then into Sunday, it's still not exactly certain where the heaviest rains are going to fall, but the larger point is that this system is multifaceted and it should develop pockets of rain and thunderstorms over a multi-day period going into next week. And that's why we think that we'll see some decent rainfall between now and, say, Tuesday.
Earlier in the growing season, there was a dry pocket in the Chicago area and then in the northwestern part of Illinois. The lower tier of counties across the bottom of Minnesota, kind of a finger that stuck out from the driest areas across to the east. Have those areas had enough rain to alleviate the issues?
Well, they have in the short term, in that we've seen some decent rain over the last 1 to 2 weeks in a lot of those areas. But the bigger picture, if you look at it over the last 90 days, those dry areas still exist. Most of Minnesota, the Dakotas, Iowa, far northern Illinois, and far southern Wisconsin are all pretty dry and in an agricultural drought from a lack of rain over the last 90 days. And you need to keep in mind that the coverage of dryness on both U.S. corn and soybean production is currently the highest in early July since 2012. And what that means is that every growing season since 2012 at this point in the growing season was wetter. We had some decent rains in parts of 2013, certainly in a whole bunch of years that followed that all the way up until last year. So this is the driest it's been in 9 years for the corn and soybean crops over that 90-day perspective. And that helps to explain a little bit as to why the condition ratings of both these crops are pretty low compared to historical standards. And it does emphasize that you do need rains to continue. Now, the tricky thing, again, kind of getting back into the forecast, is that a lot of the rains that are coming up are going to be along and just south of these very dry areas. And so in the end, you could see a situation where you're looking at fantastic crops across the southeast third to half of the corn and soybean growing region of the U.S., while that northwestern half is doing better because they're going to get some rain too, but they're going to need to see follow-up rains 1 to 2, even 3 to 4 weeks from now. And is that possible? Yes, it certainly is possible. And that's why all these growing seasons are a little bit tricky to figure out. But this is certainly a step in the right direction for a lot of the U.S. crop. But we really would like to see this axis of rain a little bit further to the north, because then we'd be telling you, hey, the coverage of drought is actually diminishing a lot, and we're nowhere near what was going on in 2012. Keep in mind, in 2012, about half of the U.S. corn crop was in an agricultural drought, which we define as being considerably drier than normal over the last 90 days. Right now, we're at around 38 to 39%, so we're not that far off, and that's quite a bit higher than, again, any year since then. But near-term rains probably matter more than long-term rains, so that's why these rains over the next week or two are very important.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, great chatting with you, Todd.
And we'll talk with you again next week. That's Mike Tenori. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. You can find him at tstorm.net online. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.